Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Chores. We're talking some Packers football. The NFL Combine is now officially over. We're going to wrap that up and start looking ahead to the offseason needs of the Green Bay Packers. So I wanted to kick off today's show by talking about a certain position in Green Bay for a couple of reasons. I wanted to talk about the center position. And its impetus is partially because of an article published today, published yesterday, at JS Online by reporter Tyler Dunn, who talked to the agent of Packers center Evan Dietrich Smith. Perhaps we should call him an offensive lineman. He has played guard as well, but made the transition to center late in the season. Of course, if you follow the Packers, you know the story, how it goes. Evan Dietrich Smith replaced Jeff Saturday late in the season. The Packers deciding to make that move, got some attention at the time, seeing as Jeff Saturday had started all year as, you know, one of the best centers in the NFL over the course of his career. But Dietrich Smith steps in, does a pretty good job for the last few games of the regular season and the two-game playoff stint. And now the Packers have to decide what they're going to do at that position in Green Bay. And as Tyler Dunn noted in his article at JS Online, they've talked about, basically the parameters of a potential deal with Dietrich Smith. Now, what we don't know is what the deal is, the unknown part of it here is Evan Dietrich Smith is scheduled to be a restricted free agent this offseason. So he's not free to just go ahead and sign with any team he wants. Basically, if you're a restricted free agent, 99% of the time you stick with the team that you're on. The rules almost like prevent you from signing anywhere else. Like it really is. It's very restricted because what the Packers have to do is they have to decide what type of tender to put on Evan Dietrich Smith and all their restricted free agents that also include Sam Shields. But we're gonna stick to Dietrich Smith here this morning. They can place a first-round tender, which means if he were to sign with another team, they'd have to give up a first-round draft choice to do that. Packers aren't certainly going to do that with Evan Dietrich Smith because no team's going to give up a first-rounder to get him. The potential that they could do the next step would be more likely, and that would be a second-round tender, which means if a team were to sign Evan Dietrich Smith, they'd have to give up a second-round draft choice to the Packers. And that seems likely because not that he's worth a second-round pick, but because the last level of tender is the original round pick. And because Evan Dietrich Smith was an undrafted free agent, the Packers would receive no compensation for him. So that's why they would choose to put the second rounder on him instead of the original round tender. So I think that's going to happen. It's a possibility the Packers could put the original round tender on him, but I see the second rounder as the more likely possibility. And either way, though, the Packers would get to match any offer he would make with another team. So they could put the original round tender, and while they wouldn't get any compensation, if he were to sign with another team, the Packers would get the right to match it. Now, there's also the possibility here, and that's what the article alludes to, that Dietrich Smith and the Packers could be talking long-term contract extension, you know, basically avoiding a tender altogether, depending upon when this all happens, if it happens before free agency or not. But I see that as unlikely. I'm not convinced Evan Dietrich Smith is the long-term center of the future in Green Bay. Not to say that he can't be, but what we've seen out of him his first few years in Green Bay, I'm just not sold yet. You know, he hasn't done anything so outstanding that I am just convinced of it. He's done some good things, and he's done some not so good things. So it's really a tough issue. And of course, there's always the, you know, what this was his fourth year in the NFL, right? Or was it his? Yeah, I think so. His fourth year. There were a couple years where he didn't play much. He might have actually have gotten an accrued season, but I think it was technically his fourth. So, you know, there's kind of a little bit of a discrepancy there. But you know, that it could be something where he's on the verge of breaking out. You know, you get this, you play this long in the NFL and you start to figure things out and you start to make a commitment to bodybuilding and training in an NFL weight room. And Evan Dietrich Smith could be there, but I'm not totally buying it yet. And so what I want to do is actually share an interview here with you. And that is with an interview I conducted with Packers Hall of Famer Larry McCarron, who of course, was a center during his time with the Packers, was a former Pro Bowler, and now, of course, wears many hats. He's probably best known as the Packers analyst on the Packers radio network, you know, along with Wayne Larrivee doing the radio broadcasts every week. But he also has a role with the Packers organization itself. He does a lot of online video and stuff like that. He also, I know he left WFRV in Green Bay, their television station, as I believe their news director. I think he's joined another station. I don't live in the Green Bay market right now. I actually live in the Milwaukee one, so I'm unsure of what television station he might be working with now. But anyway, the point is Larry McCarron knows what he's talking about. He's played the position, and he has some insight into what the Packers maybe might do, should do, things like that. And anyway, without any further ado, here's my, and it doesn't last long, here's my minute and a half interview with Larry McCarron at the NFL Combine about the center position in Green Bay. And you're not going to hear it here, but I kicked off the interview with a question talking about Jeff Saturday's retirement, and does that open up a need at the position in Green Bay? Here's Larry McCarron. One second here. I got it.
A need there?
I don't know if it's a need. Like, certainly you can't have enough good players, but I thought Evan Dietrich Smith did a good job. He got his audition period, and he wasn't just okay. I thought he was pretty good, and when he was starting and so forth, and he handled the pressure of late-season games and the playoffs well. And I just think he got his foot in the door in a pretty big way. Now, the Packers can find themselves a good player, right place, right guy at the right time. You know, that's fine. But I don't look at that as a pressing need because of what Evan Dietrich Smith did towards the end of the year.
Do you think he's the long-term solution?
I think he could be. I think he's got the adequate skill set that he can do what needs to be done and get the job done, and he's shown it in big-time games against big-time people.
And you wouldn't say they need to spend a first-rounder at the position?
No, and I would say that almost every year because of this. I think center is a position you could manufacture. Now, if you're going to spend a first-rounder on an offensive lineman, generally speaking, I would look at that guy being a left tackle. Those guys are hard to manufacture. But when it comes to the center, you can take a guy with a decent skill set and coach him up, and a guy with a lot of want to, and you could get yourself a center, and it happens all over the league, not just in Green Bay.
And that does it. That's Larry McCarron talking to me at the NFL Combine. And interesting how blunt he is. You know, this is a former center. If there's anybody out there who you think would be advocating for centers, you'd think it'd be Larry McCarron. But, you know, he comes out and says, I don't think a center's worth the first-round draft choice. And, you know, of course, there's that to consider. I spent a lot of time the day offensive linemen were available at the NFL Combine talking to centers and sitting in on their interviews, things like that. I wrote an article on Wisconsin center Travis Frederick here at Cheesehead TV. I wrote an article on Cal center Brian Schwenke here at Cheesehead TV. And, you know, basically trying to, you know, figure out, are the Packers interested? You know, what type of guy is this? What will they be getting in this player? Those types of things. And, you know, it's a difficult thing to gauge because, you know, it's looking like, you know, coming from analysts like Mike Mayock of the NFL Network, who has Wisconsin's own Travis Frederick rated as the number one center in this year's draft class. And the thing is, you know, if the Packers were to want him, they think, you know, Travis Frederick is going to be a Pro Bowl player. You know, they'd have to spend a first rounder on him, because by the time they'd come around in the second round, he's not going to be available anymore. You know, it's kind of a thing where maybe one center goes in the first round every year, maybe, but that's it. Very, very rarely. I don't have the statistics here in front of me or the history here in front of me. I couldn't tell you if there's ever been a time when there's been two centers taken in the first round, or some guys are, you know, position versatile where they also play guard and things like that. But you know, there's something to be said about that, about, you know, manufacturing a center rather than, you know, drafting one in the first round and you know, paying him that type of money when you can get similar value in the middle rounds. So, it's also interesting, too, if you're a close follower of Cheesehead TV, you may have noticed, you know, before the NFL Combine started, I did a mock draft survey of just, you know, all sorts of different internet mock drafts, from the experts to the amateurs, and found out the person whose name popped up the most out of anybody was Alabama center Barrett Jones, who, of course, does have some name recognition. He won 3 national championships with Alabama. He was an Outland Trophy winner. He was a Remington Trophy winner. So, you know, he's highly regarded. But, you know, if you look at the rankings from Mike Mayock, other analysts, he's not the top center in this year's draft class. Mike Mayock has him number 3. And you know, that's a second day draft choice. That's around 2 or 3 guy, if not even 4. So, kind of interesting, just all these little things you have to consider and factor in. And you know, there's things that, you know, aren't really clear before the NFL Combine that start coming into focus after, where, you know, finally opinions are coming out from NFL general managers and scouts and things like that. And you realize that, you know, maybe a guy isn't quite, you know, what we thought he would be. Or, you know, just maybe there's better people out there, things like that. So, anyway, interesting discussion here about the center position in Green Bay, what the Packers might do. I said it, I think the Packers should make Evan Dietrich Smith play under a 1-year tender and maybe talk, you know, long-term extension next year, a year from now. But that's what I would do if I were the Packers. There's some risk involved, because certainly if Evan Dietrich Smith has a breakout season, well, then he's a free agent next year and he could leave and go wherever he wants. So that's the risk. That's the risk by not doing a long-term contract now. But I think that's a risk the Packers should be willing to take, just because I haven't seen anything from Evan Dietrich Smith yet that says he's great, he's starting caliber, he's Pro Bowl caliber. Haven't seen it yet. Hopefully it happens. I'm all there hoping for it, but it hasn't yet. It hasn't yet. Just one other article I want to make brief mention about here is an article at today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Bob McGinn. He talked to Mike McCarthy at the NFL Combine, and basically he wrote an article today. Well, I think published maybe last night or yesterday or whatever, but in today's edition of the paper, I think it appears, about the Packers potentially moving Brian Bulaga to left tackle. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this topic, but I'll tell you, and I posted on Twitter that this morning, if you want to look through my feed, I wrote a column a year ago, after the Packers season ended in 2011, that the Packers should have moved Brian Bulaga to left tackle for 2012. There's risk involved in everything you do. And moving Brian Bulaga to left tackle would have an impact on other players on the roster. There's kind of a domino effect, and maybe that's why the Packers are hesitant to do it. Because I can see the domino effect, but they should have just bitten the bullet last year. Now they're talking about doing it this year, a year in which he's coming off injury, by the way. It just would have been so much easier had they just bit the bullet and did it last year. And we can sit here. There's so many facets to talk about. I guess that's what the good thing about having a podcast is, you're not really limited by time or anything. I hear this all the time, especially you can probably look through the comments section of my post and see it from people about how the left tackle position really doesn't have the cachet it used to, because the Packers run out of shotgun so much that it really isn't the blind, the quote unquote blind side anymore, where the quarterback's back is turned to the left side. He's sitting there in the shotgun. He can see the whole field. So there's really not that much more need. Although I still think the Packers should have done it, because, they do go under center from time to time. And I think when a quarterback gets ready to pass, he does turn his back to the left side if he's a right-handed quarterback. So there's that to consider. And that's why I think the Packers should do it. Anyway, if you want to read it up, Jamie's got the link there. And thank you, Jamie, to Bob McGinn's article today about the Packers potentially doing it. The article is basically exploring the possibility. There is no indication from Mike McCarthy that they're going to do it. McGinn just brings it up as a possibility. So take that for what you will. Now, the other thing I wanted to touch on today and spend most of the last part of this episode here is a column I wrote yesterday here at Cheesehead TV about the Packers off-season blueprint. And Jamie, if you could pull up a link to that as well. And I basically presented a 11-point checklist for things the Packers should do this offseason. And I'll run through them here briefly. And being an 11-point checklist, I'll try not to spend too much time on any one point. But these are things, now that the you know, the NFL Combine is in the rearview mirror, and free agency is coming up in just a little bit of time, here's what I think the Packers need to do this offseason in order to become a good team, in order to become a Super Bowl level team. And I kick it off with number one by saying the Packers need to clear some salary cap space by restructuring A.J. Hawk's contract. A.J. Hawk is making, you know, what is it, in the realm of $7 million this season, or at least that's what his salary cap figure is. It, you know, there's a difference between salary cap figure and salary because, you know, the way bonuses are structured in the NFL and how they're paid out over the length of a contract and how much they count any one particular year against the salary cap. All right. I think we are back up and running here at Cheesehead TV. I believe we briefly lost connection, and I'm not sure at what point we lost connection here. But I was talking about the offseason blueprint and 11 items the Packers need to do this offseason, starting with number one, A.J. Hawk's contract. I think he's being paid too much for you know, what he's worth, what he brings to the table. And the Packers need to restructure his contract. I don't think they should cut him outright. I mean, if A.J. Hawk absolutely does not agree to a restructured contract, then maybe you cut him. But with the uncertainty with Desmond Bishop, with D.J. Smith coming off injuries, I think that maybe they should bring him back, albeit at a reduced price. So that's what I think should happen there. Number two, that they should sign Clay Matthews to his contract extension, and really, this should happen any day. I don't know when it's going to get done, but I really wouldn't be opposed to this happening, you know, today, tomorrow, sometime before free agency. It wouldn't bother me in the least, and I think it should happen sometime, you know, around the start of free agency, so the Packers know what they have with their salary cap. Clay Matthews has 1 year left on his contract. His next contract he signs, he's going to get paid a ton. He's going to be one of the highest paid defenders in the entire NFL. There's no getting around it, and he deserves it. And you know, the Packers, you know, he's the biggest impact player on their defense. They got to pay him. They got to retain him. You know, again, they got to bite the bullet. So, you know, I get this thing done. Get Clay Matthews done. And I say, do Clay Matthews now. Do Aaron Rodgers at midseason. He's got 2 years left on his contract. So if the Packers can just wait, you know, again, midseason, halfway into the season, 8 weeks left, figure out the parameters ahead of then. But by doing his contract extension at midseason, he is not going to count, you know, if you do it exactly halfway, you know, he's going to be going from $10 million a year to $20 million a year, probably in that realm. But because you do it halfway, cut that $10 million in half, you're only giving him a $5 million pay raise for 2013. If you can follow along what I'm saying here. So I think you give the pay raise to both of them. You do the contract extensions to both of them. You just try to save a little money for 2013. So you can also pay Clay Matthews. So you can also get involved in free agency. And then you move forward and B.J. Raji's next, but he's just going to have to wait his turn. Number three on the offseason blueprint list, accept a third-round draft choice for JerMichael Finley. I think that we've talked about JerMichael Finley so much on the show, it might become the JerMichael Finley podcast instead of the Railbird Central podcast. I'm in favor of the Packers parting ways with JerMichael Finley. I know there's people out there that disagree with me. You think the Packers should stick with him, and that's fine that we disagree. I'm not going to get into that now, but you know, I'm going to give you my point of view, and that's that the Packers move on. You know, they're not going to get a first rounder for a guy, first of all, making $8 million, and second of all, with only 1 year left on his contract. Because of his contract alone, the one he's currently under, the Packers aren't going to get a huge deal in return for JerMichael Finley. He's not going to fetch a first rounder. He's probably not going to fetch a second rounder. Packers might be able to get a third rounder for him. I probably wouldn't even necessarily be opposed to getting a fourth. You know, if you're getting a fifth, sixth, seventh, you might as well just keep him then. Or cut him totally. Well, I suppose any compensation would be better than cutting him totally. Depends upon what the Packers want to end up doing with him. But anyway, you know, I really think you try hard to trade him. You know, I think there's a couple good potential tight ends in the first round. I like these guys. Tyler Eifert, Zach Ertz, Gavin Escobar. I like them. I know some people don't, or at least don't think they're first round material. And anyway, number four kind of goes with making another move here too. I think the Packers should explore the old tag and trade move with Greg Jennings. And basically they have to figure this out in the next week. The Packers have less than a week actually to figure this out, because the deadline for putting a franchise tag on a player is next Tuesday, and or March 4th. I think that's next Tuesday, right? And so the Packers have to figure out, you know, ASAP what they're going to do with Greg Jennings. And you know, it's the NFL doesn't look kindly upon these tag and trade deals. They don't see that as the intention of the franchise tag. But there's nothing in the rule book that can explicitly prohibit it. You know, what happens is the Packers place the franchise tag on him, sign Greg Jennings to a contract extension, and then trade him away. And basically, that they agree to the terms of the team they're going to trade him to. The Packers sign him, but they agree to the terms of the team they'll be trading him to. So that's how it all works out, and that's how you get around it. And again, anyway, I mean, I think the Packers should accept as little as a fourth round draft choice, because you know if Greg Jennings were just to leave via free agency, they'll get a compensatory draft choice in 2014. So we're talking a year from now in return. But again, that assumes they don't sign anybody in free agency. You see, when the Packers lose someone and then sign someone, that could cancel each other out. So in order to get the compensation, the Packers would have to lose Greg Jennings and then not sign anybody, or at least not sign anybody really, really notable in return, so they don't lose that. So, you know, that's the push and pull there. With comp picks. But I think the Packers should, if they can get as little as a fourth round draft choice, do it. I'd rather see a fourth round draft choice in 2013 than have it pay off in 2014. You know, I don't want the payoff to come a year from now. I want it now. I mean, why put it off? You want the Packers to be competitive as soon as possible. I mean, if you can get a third rounder for Greg Jennings, more power to you. I'm just not sure the Packers can. Number five, make Chris Canty a competitive offer. And this is this goes to the comp pick equation here too. The reason Chris Canty makes more sense than any other free agent that the Packers could possibly sign, well, I mean, not any free agent, anybody who is cut makes sense to me, because they don't factor into the comp pick equation. Anybody who was cut, like Chris Canty, like Ahmad Bradshaw, like Cullen Jenkins, these people don't count against the compensatory draft pick equation. The Packers don't, if they sign them, they don't got to give up a draft choice, you know? Or they don't count in that equation of, you know, losing versus gaining. Which, again, I mean, I don't have time really to get into the whole equation because it's so complicated. But it, you know, if you were to do some reading up on it, you'd see why as well. You know, I think Chris Canty, is he a Pro Bowl player? Probably not. But can he be a rotational player in the Packers' defensive line? He's got that length they desire for a tall defensive lineman. He can both stuff the run and rush the passer. He can be a very valuable rotational defensive lineman. And I think the Packers should make him a competitive offer and try to get him in the fold. I really think he makes sense. Really think Chris Canty makes a lot of sense for him. Number six, the Packers should try to save as much much money as possible in restricted free agency. And that's because they shouldn't offer Sam Shields and Evan Dietrich Smith these first-round tenders. They should sign them to second-round tenders at most. So you save a little bit of money there. And then also, don't give any tenders to Tom Crabtree, Rob Francois, or Frank Zombo. Obviously not Frank Zombo, but the Packers would possibly consider Crabtree and Francois, but they shouldn't. The risk is they would become free agents. They could sign with any team they want, but again, you know, that's a risk the Packers should be willing to take, because if Tom Crabtree and Rob Francois can find interest from another team in free agency, more power to them. I think they're more valuable to the Packers than any team in the NFL. I think those players probably should and will realize that. And they can basically, Packers can get them at a lower price than the tender offer would indicate. And hey, I mean, you know, if Rob Francois and Tom Crabtree can go find, and you know, Tom Crabtree, who's been on the show many times, and I love him, but if he can go find a better offer somewhere else, well, more power to Tom. You know, go sign that big contract if you can find it. Nothing wrong in trying to do so. And I wish you the best of luck in doing so, but hope you come back to the Packers. Number seven, the Packers should add a safety in the first 2 days of the NFL draft. I think it's a deep class for safety, and they can find a starting caliber safety in the first three rounds. I don't know who it's going to be, but they can sign one. And you know, I can let you look at the rest of this list here at Cheesehead TV about what the Packers need to do this offseason. Just briefly rattling them off. They should stand pat at tackle and outside linebacker in the first round. They shouldn't draft players at those positions in the first round. They should draft at least one linebacker, wide receiver, running back, and offensive lineman. They should offer Cullen Jenkins a modest deal, like NFL veterans minimum modest, maybe slightly above, but not much more. And finally, bringing competition to Mason Crosby at kicker. Those are all things the Packers need to do this offseason, should do this offseason, to become a better and more competitive team. So that's what I would do if I were Ted Thompson, if I were in the front office of the Packers, if I were, you know, coaching them and trying to coach these players up. That's what I'd be looking for. You know, that's what my opinion would be. And we'll see how much they pay attention to me. They won't pay any attention to me, but we'll see how many of these I hit on. We'll put it that way. We'll see how many I hit on and see if the Packers actually think like I do, perhaps. So there you go, folks. That's my opinion on the Green Bay Packers, and that's our Wednesday episode of Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. Thank you all so much for joining us here this morning. We'll be back on Friday talking more, free agent topics, talking more NFL draft topics, you name it. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long. And we'll be back on Friday. So on behalf of Jamie Jorz, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called The Surf by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. go